It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
Steve, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Hey, good morning to everyone. And I was hoping that phone call that came in this morning to me was Tom Ricketts asking me to go to spring training.
Well, I guarantee more people have heard of you than anybody they invited, don't you think?
Well, that's interesting. The team is sort of shaping up by a lot of unknowns, but you know, they're really banking on the new manager to get through to Castro and the other Latinos that are coming up through the system, which I think they've got a promising group of guys with the Dominican and the Cubano, too. And of course, Rizzo is the face of the organization, but I think Castro is sort of the main ingredient.
How do you feel about the whole Theo Epstein and the money ball? Because, you know, what he did in Boston, I don't consider that money ball. He had some really big-name, high-dollar players on that Red Sox team. And this is a totally different situation, what he's doing here.
Well, I kind of look at it like John McDonough, who's doing a great job with the Hawks. He came into, as the vice president of the broadcasting, I think it was his position anyways, in 1984. That was a good year to enter into the Chicago Cubs organization if you were going to be working in the front office, because that team came through and did very well. So everything went up from that point on. I think same kind of way a little bit with Theo, but when he was with Boston, that is. Yeah, he made some good moves, but he's expected to make good moves. And I think he's got a situation here with the Cubs where he is maybe being held back a little bit. I don't know exactly. I cannot say. I'm not privy to their meetings. But I think that the intent is to shoot for a couple of years from now. So we're talking, I'm sorry, Cubs fans, no refund yet. But in 2015, you know, maybe next year where you start seeing some of those guys come up through the ranks and taking off and maybe Theo making some bigger moves.
Steve, it's hard to believe, but we're into the 30th anniversary of that 1984 Cubs team, the first team that won anything in most of our lifetimes, and it was really a special team, and a lot of us still are sad that it didn't end up in a World Series appearance. But do you find that you're amazed still at how many people still inquire about you and that 84 team even all this time later?
Well, I'll put it this way. We just left. The Cubs convention was, I think, 2 weeks ago. I'm still recovering from it. The fans are just tremendous. Everybody knows that about the Cubs fans, and they deserve a winning team, and they love the 84 team. And a lot of people, I got a kick when Vince Vaughn said that was the year he became a Cubs fan, and I said, oh, good, because I love that guy. But a lot of people did in 84. That was a fun team. It was a team of just a great group of guys. I don't care. I didn't know 69 team, but 84 compared to even 88, I think it was, or any other team, seems to be the year that Ivy really did change, so to speak. And I look for, I loved seeing the guys, and I joked with them we had a 84 panel, and somebody asked me about what I do now, and I said, well, I do a few things. I have a baseball program. I also work for the Senior Citizens Program I adopted that I take to senior centers. And I said, heck, I'm starting to see some of my former players in senior centers.
We're talking with the former major leaguer Steve Trout, pitched for the Cubs, obviously that 84 team. But I'm just guessing, being from South Holland and graduating from Thornwood High School, I'm guessing as a Southsider, you grew up a Sox fan, and that had to be something getting drafted by the Sox.
Well, I think when I got signed by the White Sox in 76, I was very familiar with the place, and it probably helped me. My dad worked for Bill Veeck. He was his best friend. My dad did PR and spoke at the banquets and started the Red Cloud Banquet with George Allen after they went to South Dakota, and I was raised in South Holland with the Thornwood. And Comiskey Park was my playground. I can remember Dad, when the team wasn't there, or even in the wintertime, going down to the locker room and jumping in the hot tub. That was a one-tank hot tub, not five or six guys they have nowadays in locker rooms. But, you know, that was, and getting on the field without anybody there, you know, pushing the button. Remember that basket that came up behind home plate?
Yeah.
People might remember that. But I would get on the switchboard. They had the old switchboard, and I'd go in my dad's office. So, anyways, what I'm getting at is I really felt like when I got called up to the big leagues in 78 that I was just already been there in a sense, and it just made me feel like I was where I was supposed to be at. But some good players come out of there. We have Mark Mulder came from Thornwood, and the first baseman.
Cliff Floyd, yeah.
Miami. Yeah. Cliff Floyd. And then also the basketball player for the Bulls. He played
Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Curry, too. So that school put out some pretty good players.
I bet.
Steve, as you, I guess, number one, do you do what you're going to be coming to Galesburg to do tomorrow? Is this something that you do fairly frequently, have clinics with kids, or is this something that's just an occasional thing for you?
I'll tell you, about 15 years ago when I got into the coaching aspect of coaching youth baseball, pitching and so forth, I didn't know how to do it. I knew how to pitch from the gift of God, but I wasn't sure how to teach. And I called Brad Arnsberger, who was a teammate of mine, and Brad was a pitching coach for, I think, Toronto at that time. And I flew down to Dallas. I met with him, and we spent two intensive days studying pitching, and everything kind of came back to me. Oh yeah, that's what I was doing, or that's what I needed to do, or that's what Billy Connors talked about, or that's what my other pitching coaches talked about. And you know, and then I worked with Bill Brick, who's now the assistant for Kevin Towers, and I developed myself and be one good pitching coach. And I find my, you know, I've patented a plate system to teach focus and concentration that I hope comes out this year. And I feel like that's what I'm meant to do. And I do a lot of clinics. I was in the Philippines recently doing a couple of clinics, and I've done them in Colombia and Panama and all over. And of course, here in Chicago, quite a few. And I'll continue to do them. And that's what I love to do. So, and coming out to see you guys tomorrow is one of my great trips with Mike Spinks, the owner of the Jersey Sports Bar, and he's a good instructor himself. We kind of work with each other. I think I've helped him with pitching. He's helped me with some hitting tips. And so we just work together, and I love doing what I do.
The clinic itself is going to be at the Knox County YMCA McBride Gym tomorrow. I'm sure you can probably contact the Y to get signed up. It's $25 per player, and this is for kind of all ages, grades, first graders all the way through high school, if you want your child to learn some proper pitching techniques. Again, this will be tomorrow from 3 until 5 p.m. And then if people want to get a chance to chat with you a little bit more later on tomorrow evening, you're going to be a celebrity bartender at Mike's Place, Jersey Sports Bar, which is right around the corner from our station here.
Yeah, just don't order any Cosmopolitan. It's too fancy. But, if he's got beer on tap, I think I can pull that one.
There you go.
I look forward to that. I really do, and I'm glad Mike's having me. And I was only out there one time, and I hope I can make this a little bit more of a maybe once a month kind of visit, coming out and working with the kids. Because to take this program or how I teach, you got to do it a long time. You got to work at it. You know, I tell the kids, you don't get good overnight, and you've got to practice and train. But the right way. You can't practice bad. You'll never get better.
Yeah. Do you focus mostly on the physical mechanics of it, Steve, or do you like to approach the mental aspect of pitching?
Well, I look at it like all the other sports. Say, for instance, golf. I think it's all mechanics at that time. And then I think you have to develop into a feeling and into a power position, you know, feeling strong, and then developing the confidence. So it's definitely mechanics. For sure. I'm working on another teaching tool I'm developing right now about how to get the arm up, because I see too many low elbows. When you have a low elbow that's equal or lower even than your shoulder, you can have a lot of problems with your arm. And I teach mechanics, and then I try to then teach, you know, feel it out, you know, have confidence and let it go and then get stronger. I teach a little bit of light weight work, how to strengthen, what muscles are used more in pitching, and all the things, a good turn with the hips, how it helps, and I break it down, then I have a little Q&A, and we have probably a good clinic, I think.
Talking with former Major Leaguer Steve Trout, pitch for the Cubs and Sox, among others. You'd mentioned your father earlier, Steve, and Dizzy Trout pitched for the Tigers, Red Sox, Orioles, had a really nice career. Did you feel extra pressure being the son of a former Major Leaguer, or was that, did you feel in your case it was an advantage to you? Obviously, growing up around the ballpark helped you out.
Oh, yeah, only when he was there watching me pitch did I feel pressure. But Dad was always about, you know, just enjoy the game. And he died when I was only a freshman in high school. I was 14. So I didn't get to know him. I wish I would have. I've met many players such as Harlem Killebrew and so many, Larry Doby, that talked about my dad, and Ted Williams talked about my dad, how what a competitor he was. And my dad kind of got his name from Dizzy Dean, and Dizzy Dean said, hey, Trout, this is 1939. He said, you can have all the fun you want in baseball, but if you don't win games, it won't be any fun. So I think I would have learned a lot more from my dad later on. But carrying the torch or following his footsteps, I didn't feel too much pressure. I think there's times, though, that I sensed a little bit of a comparison, but I didn't really feel it. Dad, you know, Dad didn't have that. That wasn't his thing. He didn't force me to play ball or say, get out to the backyard and pitch. I think what I would like to address sometimes in these clinics is how parents should handle some of the, you know, how they should handle discussing things with their kids, or say, for instance, you know, parent relationship to coaching and things like that. But I didn't feel too much of it. I only felt pressure when Reggie Jackson was up to bat.
There you go.
Well, or maybe.
Actually, I did it. I kind of got him pretty good. But there's some guys that had my number. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and most of us as Cub fans from 84 all wish that Steve Garvey would have gone away, because he was the one that hurt us. Do you find yourself still shaking your head and kind of in disbelief that that team did not make the World Series after you were up 2-0 in the playoffs?
And those are good questions. Yeah, you know. If you had Jay Johnson on the phone, he would be going crazy right now, because he was saying in the fourth game or the third game, or Sunday anyways, in San Diego, Sutcliffe is out of gas, and there I am in the bullpen raising my arms. I'm ready. Let's put me in. Although I think that was a strange game, that last game, the ball over Sandberg's head, and just some of the things that happened. We were up 3-0 in the sixth inning. I mean, you know, Leon's glove, and not many people realize that the water cooler fell on it. He took it out. I don't know what it was, but it was a strange sort of occurrences. Yeah, and I do shake my head, and I think, gosh, what a nice thing it would have been if I could have pitched against Detroit, because that was the team my dad pitched for against the Cubs in 45.
Interesting.
So it was just this great baseball story developing between just my, you know, the history of Dad and I, and that kind of had an extra a bad feeling about it.
Talking with former major.
On that 84 panel, we all were like that, though. We were still sort of.
I'll bet.
In amazement how that happened. And you know, I must say, some guys talked about the pitching rotation. That was a key thing, and how Fry might have messed that up. And there's some truth in that, I feel, too. But I don't like to. You know, we're teammates, we stick together, we go through the thick and the thin, but there's some truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with former major leaguer Steve Trout. Steve, what have you seen since the time you've been out of baseball as a major league player? What changes are you seeing in the game?
Oh, it's all business, you know. I mean, it's all business, although baseball has done well with Bud Selig as the commissioner. Now he's out, but then I'm looking for Tony La Russa to maybe take that position.
Really? Wow.
I'm thinking. That's my guess, and that's my hope. And I think it'd be a good one. You know, I think it'd be a really good one, a Torrey or something like that. But I'm hoping La Russa gets it or takes that job. But it's strictly business. It's about money, unfortunately. There's a lot less loyalty. I think players probably feel that, you know, it seems like they take care of themselves more. They have more gear on. The baseball business itself is trying to grow internationally. It's another interesting aspect to it that I think they want to develop baseball more internationally. NBA is trying to do that, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Some changes in the game. We have a few minor things, such as now replay But generally, the game's still the game. I just think that dollars are bigger, and that changes a lot of things. When, you know, dollars get into the picture, you know, look what happens to a politician. I mean, everything's changed.
Yep, you bet.
I was going to say, we're just about out of time, Steve, and, you know, you mentioned at the outset about maybe being ready to get a call from Mace. I think we'd all like to go down where it's warm. And, you know, they always say, you left-handers, you guys have a longer shelf life, so, you know, maybe you will get a call.
Jamie Moyer can tell you what. In all reality, if I didn't go to New York, I might still be pitching, because about 3 or 4 years ago, I was hitting 82, 83 on the radar gun. But I just had a function with Jamie. He's maybe will make a comeback. But you're right, lefties are far and few between, and it's economics 101. So you got a lefty. Heck, I was the only lefty on the 84 team, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's. That's true. You're right. And it's good to be lefty. I tried to tie my grandson's right arm behind his back.
Steve, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Have a great day and have safe travels.
Bye-bye.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.